Hello and welcome to Story Selling, the series where we're going to be exploring the skill of effective storytelling within the field of product marketing. Each episode, we're going to focus on one of the four different stages of the storytelling process: the story, the speaker, the listener, and finally, the response. In this episode, we're going to be focusing on the story itself, specifically on how to craft a perfect product story that resonates with authenticity. I'm going to be joined by Rachel Howard, who is the Vice President of Brand at Adidas, an expert storyteller, specifically in the areas of sport performance, fashion, and sustainability.
Very happy today to be joined by an old friend of mine, Rachel Howard. How are you doing, Rachel?
Good, thanks. I'm not sure about calling me old, though. That's a great way to start. Come on.
Yeah, perfect start. No, the reason I wanted to talk to you, I talked to you earlier about doing this series, and I thought the best way to do a series about storytelling is actually just to talk to the people who have actually got experience in actually creating them. And actually, I think I first learned how to create product stories through you, through very graciously hiring me into the Adidas company many years ago. And I wanted to talk to you about one thing in particular, which I think is really important when it comes to creating a product story, which is authenticity. It's interesting when you look at product stories, some companies have the advantage of being able to create one thing like an iPhone. So it's one story, and that story is still being told today. And then there's other places that create stories in an incredible rate. I think back to our job at Adidas, where we were working in licensed team sports. So creating football jerseys, rugby jerseys, sometimes hundreds of products for dozens of teams all around the world. And how are you able to create that many product stories and still be authentic? And I always think that that's really the word that separates a good story to a bad story. So maybe that's a really good place to start. Do you think you have a process for when you're creating a story to make it be authentic?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, right? Because like you said, if you're working for a company that has, or a brand that has one product and they can tell that story, whereas I guess working at Adidas, you know, we're about sport, and sport encompasses so many different areas. I guess the main thing for me, and because obviously I'm still at Adidas and that's kind of been my career education, I would say, is the authentic part, is really being true to who you are within that industry and from a brand point of view. So for me, that's the authenticity around that storytelling comes back to, we're a sports company. Now, a lot of people think about Adidas and think about the fashion side as well, but essentially at the end of the day, I always think of one of the great products that we've always done, which is a Superstar, for example, or a Stan Smith. Now, you're from the north of England, and I know they're very popular attire up there, but it's essentially way back when these were built originally, they were the high-performance sport shoes of their time. So the authenticity around this, the storytelling for me, is really rooted in what the product is for and where your brand sits within its industry.
Yeah, it's an interesting point, because I think fundamentally to creating an authentic story is when you're true to yourself. Like that's when you say, oh, that's really authentic. They're speaking from their real core brand. You're now completely in a brand role, which I think you probably feel like you could probably be tempted to create even better product now. I know that was one thing that we hold tight, is like, how can we tell a product story that maybe Nike or Under Armour or another brand couldn't tell? Do you feel now that your role in brand actually would equip you better to create product stories as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, I've worked the full spectrum of the creation process, right? So everything from briefing the product, now my responsibility is making sure we deliver the story that we started with to the consumer. I think no matter where you sit on that spectrum, the most important part is what you said around the storytelling, is actually starting with the story, or coming up with a product that comes with either you're solving a solution or solving a problem and coming up with a solution for a consumer, or you're fulfilling a need or an emotional aspect of it. And I always think about the best stories are the ones when you talk to people. And I know when I was interviewing people for Adidas, can you remember the first time that you wore an Adidas product? And, you know, most people think back to a story. Oh yeah, my first pair was a pair of, for Predator football boots, and I saw David Beckham and I scored 5 goals. And it's this really emotional connection that goes with it. And that's where the storytelling links to the authenticity for me, because the product use is, you know, fulfilling either a solution to a problem or creating an emotional connection for the consumer.
You actually asked me that exact question in my interview. And I think I actually said Predator. I remember it being the first time seeing a product and actually believing if you wear those boots, you can perform like David Beckham. And it's a really great example of a product story that people really connected with. There was suddenly a difference from, a pair of football boots with a branding on, or, those are Predators, and that made you a certain type of player. It made you a certain type of person. You were buying into something bigger than a pair of football boots. And I guess that's really tapping into what product stories do, is that they create value outside of their normal value. You've worked on so many different products. One of the things we worked on was the New Zealand All Blacks, which is obviously something as a Kiwi, very close to your heart. And do you think it's a lot easier to create product stories when essentially you come from the demographic that you're creating the story for?
Yeah, I think so. And like you said, it comes back to the authenticity. Yeah. New Zealand rugby it's not a part of our lives. It's a way of life. And when the All Blacks win, the whole country rejoices. And if the All Blacks lose, it's like a day of mourning afterwards. So that understanding of the product and the use or the history that goes with it, and what that jersey, for example, with the All Blacks symbolizes, not just to the team, but to the country. And as a New Zealander who's lived overseas for more than 15 years now, if I ever go anywhere, I'm very proud of where I come from. And that All Blacks jersey is something that you see Kiwis wear around the world as a sense of pride and identity. Because it conveys how proud we are as a nation. And then that intrinsically links to the rugby and the jersey itself.
Yeah, and I think it's almost like the simplest form of marketing is like, well, how would it make me feel? What would I want from this product? I think what's one of the interesting things that I've understood from these interviews so far is asking people about their creation process when creating things actually they would never buy or they wouldn't be interested in. Obviously, that takes a lot of research, whether it be focus groups or going into a marketplace. Do you think you have a certain process where you're creating a product where you actually have no understanding of maybe the person or the product? Like, say, if you were now hired to create a product for something you had never bought, maybe completely outside of sports, maybe something you're not passionate about. Do you think you would rely more just on your marketing instinct, or would you more on a really rigid creation process?
Yeah, I think there's kind of two sides to it, right? There's first of all, I think you have to experience the product yourself. So you'd have to go, even though you may never have used it before, you have to go experience it to understand. And you can bring a different perspective to it, right? Because you haven't used it, you don't have all the biases that go with creating the product. So that's one element. And you're right, you do need to do research, whether that's going to the market, it's focus groups, or now with such great technologies we have around data analytics. Because I think one of the things that I've found throughout creating products is that what people often tell you is not how they behave. And in surveys or interviews, they want to be seen to be saying the right things or answering the right questions and what you're looking for. Whereas if you go into data analytics, the behaviors are there. So search online, for example, gives you a really good indication of who these people are and what they're actually doing opposed to what they're saying. So for me, I think it's great to have a combination of everything, because I think if you just go for one area, you're going to get biased data. So the more data points you have, whether it's qualitative, quantitative, your own experience. And now I think as we're moving forward, product creation processes will be influenced a lot more through data and based on behavioral data, which I think is super important for developing products for the future.
Yeah, I think in the tech circle, that's so true as well, of analyzing it when it comes to user experience. So how do you change a product? And I completely agree with how many times I've read research which asking directly about what people want, and actually their behavior within an app is completely different to what they're asking for, and which makes actually a lot more sense than you think. Why would a person actually know exactly how they behave? It's very intricate. So I think there's the more we can understand about behavior helps people create products to help a lot more improved in the future. One thing I always like to ask as well is kind of the dilution of the story as well. I think those who work outside of product stories don't realize that, you know, what you come up with as a product story might not necessarily be the thing that ends up in market. We have to go through a number of rounds, whether it's sales and then goes to retail. And actually that's the authenticity of the story is just as important there, because it needs to get past sales organizations and retails to be able to get to that point. And so actually not just creating the story, but the telling of the story is so important. And we've been together on stage delivering product presentations. And how much, what do you think is the key there to making sure that the story that you create stays the same and not as diluted by the time it gets to market? And maybe with your brand experience, I think you probably have a better understanding than everyone, because I think you've probably occupied every single phase of that chain through your career.
You know, it's like anything, right? I know when we were kids, it's not very politically correct anymore, but there was a game called Chinese Whispers. I don't know if you had this, where you'd start in a row of 10 kids and you'd say something at the beginning and then you'd whisper to the next person and you'd get to the end and see what the outcome was. Yeah. And it's the same that happens with any type of information and stories, right? And you talk about storytelling. Stories have been passed down from generation to generation. You know, the original story probably of Hansel and Gretel, for example, to what we tell kids today, to what it actually was told hundreds of years ago through Hans Christian Andersen, is completely different. So how do we navigate that? I think the most important point is to what you said earlier, is one is the authenticity of the story. The story needs to resonate no matter what, and it should be able to come down to one succinct kind of message or tangible point that everyone can relate to. Mm-hmm. And the more clear that is in terms of the product story and the story, and then the storytelling that goes with it, then the easier that'll be transferred from one to the other. And I always say it's about simplicity. And the more simple the story is, the more clear what you want to deliver from a product and from the story that goes with it, the easily that will transverse its way all the way through the different people who touch the product and the chain till it comes to the consumer, and not even just once the initial consumer, the consumer who then it becomes an advocate for that product and on tells that story. So that's super important for me. One element that also goes with it is, as an American poet that I love her quote, which is around people always forget, I'm paraphrasing, but people always forget what you do, what you say, but they never forget how you made them feel. And I think it's the same with products. If you have an emotional part and a clear emotional message that goes with the product and the story, then it will cut through no matter how many people it goes through to come to market.
Yeah, that's a really great quote, because it kind of highlights that the product doesn't really matter. There's something behind the product that someone's buying into. I just had my last podcast episode with Magda from ASICS, and she was saying she saw one product story about a pair of running tights, and the story of the way they told the running tights just said, I just have to have them. And actually, when we dug into why she wanted them, it was very little to do with the product, but she understood that they understand me in the way they're talking to me, and obviously connected on an emotional level. And I guess that's the trick. That's the difference between when you're going to the supermarket and there's 1,000 types of ketchup. Why are you reaching for one? Because it's connecting with you on a level to tap into it. And that actually brings me to one thing I really wanted to ask you, because Adidas is exploring something very similar, where back in the day, I think product was a little bit simpler. Is do I want this? If so, give me an opportunity to buy it. Now people are more conscious of less about their wants and more about the responsibility they have. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of people have an understanding of how products are made. It's not, you know, everyone's ordering things off Amazon, and we realize that there is a place where this came from, and there's a carbon cost, and there's a human rights cost. And I think it's a really good thing. And how much it seems that Adidas is taking that into consideration within their product creation process. And do you believe that is something that Adidas is really understanding, that people want to know about, and that's affecting how they create product?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's one of the reasons in more recent years where I'm so happy to continue to work with the company. Mm-hmm. It's coming up nearly 20 years since I started with the brand, and the idea around sustainability. And, you know, I think, and you know about this, the Pali Oceans, and if, as a big brand, you can focus on so many things. We as a brand are really focused around ocean plastic. And also a carbon footprint as well that goes with that. But yeah, this connection around sustainability and creating products, it now informs all our product creation. So is there a better alternative? A best example was the Stan Smith, which we relaunched in January. You're like, how do you relaunch a Stan Smith that's been around since 1974? Well, we now don't make it in leather anymore. We make it out of vegan leather just because of the ability to be able to use different resources. We create running shoes. There's a new one called Future Loop, where actually it's made out of one material, and that whole shoe made to be remade can basically be cut down again, and all the materials reused to make the same shoe. And this is the future where we see technology going, anything from organic cottons all the way, you know, when we were working back in football in the day, organic cotton was quite new, yeah, to plastic polyesters, to now we're working in bio leathers, how we can use the environment to be able to make better product and leave less of a footprint. And it's always an interesting one as well, because as a brand, you want to sell more products, but you also, we want to be conscious around conscious consumerism. So we're looking at different business models. For example, can we hire products out instead of selling products directly to people? And can people use products for use to go play football on a Sunday? Do you rent the boots as opposed to buying a pair of football boots? And this is all kind of informing our new, I guess, creation process, business model, and also how we go to market in terms of how consumers perceive our brand.
Yeah, I actually, for so many industries, but for sure for fashion and for performance and sport, mm-hmm. that product innovation seems to be sustainability now. How much mm-hmm. innovation was focused on being lighter, stronger, faster, and now mm-hmm. I think it's a telling sign that most of the innovation and the storytelling is actually around sustainability, and that shows that that's what people want to hear. And also an interesting fact of it is that people are willing to pay more for it, whereas price seemed like an unmovable thing. Yeah. It's kind of a re-education of how to tell that story. Is like, we're giving you variation and option. And it brings us back quite nicely to the what we wanted to talk about, of authenticity, that mm-hmm. now there's a lot of brands speaking sustainability. Actually, it's everywhere. And I guess now that the challenge is to find out, well, which is, how do you be authentically sustainable? And I think you tapped into it a little bit, which is transparency. I think that really is the future of product storytelling, is actually to bring users or consumers into your process and say, mm-hmm. instead of us just telling you why we're amazing, come and see how we've created this and how much value. And I think brands like Patagonia are mm-hmm. doing a fantastic job of that. And I can really see transparency being a massive opportunity for anyone who's building product stories in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you said, people want to know where their products come from. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's always a lot of stories around human rights issues within the fast fashion or within the fashion industry. So, you know, I think we're moving towards no longer just saying, hey, like you said, this is the best running shoe for you. The shoe went through this process, and this is why it's the best running shoe for you and the people that made it and the planet. So therefore, that emotional connection that you're doing good for the planet. And as you said, we can, people are willing to pay more money for that because it makes them feel good that they're contributing back to the environment. I think one thing you said about innovation and technology and sustainability is the innovation. I think now creation teams are going, okay, we need to make it sustainable, but it also needs to be high performing. And whereas before it was kind of seen as either or, and now I think it's and in the conversation. So how do we produce the best performing product and produce it in the most sustainable way? And I like the and element of it, how we've moved in recent times.
Yeah, I would also add from price as well. I remember my first conversations, but we can make this sustainable, but you're going to have to charge much more. And that was always a tough battle to face, because that's how companies work. But then it seemed every year that price would get lower and lower and lower. And then to the point where actually a sustainable alternative for a material was pretty much the same. And I always thought, well, that's going to be the trick to changing everything, is when it's as simple as saying choosing one over the other. And that's why so many product stories are built around that now.
Yeah. And I think we've come to a tipping point, right? Economics, economies of scale, mm-hmm. the industries, the suppliers, the everything that goes from the raw materials, everyone's focused around this. And the more the industry grows in that area, obviously the more the price comes down, but it comes back to consumer demand. And as long as consumers demand it, and then we get moved from, I guess, the early adopters in traditional marketing speak, the early adopters to more the mass market, and the mass market is demanding this, then we'll see an explosion, I think, of this really going past the tipping point, and from an economic point of view, making business sense for companies.
Yeah, and that's when authentic stories will be so important, because there'll be so many stories, and how do you know who to trust? And the company that invests in being, I trust what they say, they've got a great record, they're transparent, is going to be able to have their product stories understood so much easier than anyone who's to become a term which has become very famous now, greenwashing, a term that every single product creator should know about. I think of it the same in my world now in tech. The responsibility is less about sustainability, but more in privacy and data protection. And the more companies that can say, by the way, we're not taking your data, or we are taking your data and this is what we're using it for, there's actually a very similar connection between those worlds, and the tech brands that can say to you, we're completely transparent of why we want your data and what we're doing with it, and you also have control of doing it, will have a similar advantage than the product companies who are saying their sustainability story.
Yeah, and it's so true. And, you know, as we talk here, I'm living in Russia. So it's, you know, the data technology and, you know, the infamous side of Russia that to the rest of the world. But the other thing I think to talk about authenticity is, one, transparency, but also I think, like most humans, you're authentic when you admit your mistakes or show areas where you're not perfect. And you say, look, you know what, our current processes of producing denim type products, for example, yes, the washing process produces a lot of pollutants. In the past, we haven't been great, but we're taking steps to do this. And I think that's also part of that authentic storytelling, is to say, hey, we're not perfect. We do make mistakes, but we want to go ahead and solve them, which I think is just naturally human as well.
I think that's a perfect word to maybe bring us to an end on, because I do think like the human element, whether it be social media management, brand management, product creation, is to show that you're more human, how better to connect a product story than actually speaking from one human to another. So that's perfect. Rachel, I really appreciate you taking the time. It's great to catch up. One thing I'd like to ask you before the end, and just to put you on the spot, I always like to ask, you've created thousands of stories, but has there ever been, or has there been a story that you've seen that you've wished, I really wish I had created that, or maybe just a really great product or brand story that you really identify with, that you see they're really doing their job right?
Yeah, it is putting me on the spot. I mean, internally, from what I've worked on, and I'm sure it's the same for you, potentially, is working with the All Blacks and New Zealand rugby and what that jersey means. Outside of that, actually, it's a really recent one, and it's more to come back to the really point I talked about at the beginning, solving problems. Mm-hmm. And dare I say it, with our biggest competitor, they've just produced the shoe. I'm not sure if you've seen it, where you can take it on and off without doing any laces or you know, reaching down or anything or needing anything to help. And I just thought about, not only is that great for people in general because we're inherently lazy and we always look for the shortcut to do things, but for people with disabilities, for elderly people, you know, people with arthritis, people who aren't able to function as I would say most of the population in some way. That shoe has so much potential, and it just again enables people to bring people to the same level, and it's through functionality. And it's such a simple idea, but done in such a smart way.
It's funny because I have that as part of my product storytelling presentation, but almost for a different reason, which is they sold it in with just a GIF or a GIF in 3-4 seconds. And you're watching someone put on those shoes and take them off. You instantly understand their value, who would want them, why they were created. And it taps into what we say is simple storytellers. Stories are the most effective.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it is so true. And the one that I like is also I like any products that kind of level the playing field for all people. Because especially in the sports industry, because we always say that, you know, sports always associated with the physical element, but if you can produce a product that enables everyone to perform at the same level, I think it's a great product to be able to do.
Absolutely. Rachel, yeah. I really appreciate your time. Thank you. And it was great to catch up as well.
You too. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.